Namaste and welcome to the Pure Flow Yoga Live Class and Conversation Podcast, a place where we get to go deep, connect, and open our bodies, hearts, and mind together to spread love, inspiration, and good vibes. We're living in truly extraordinary times. The world is changing in a unique, profound, and unprecedented way. The best approach to staying centered, balanced, grounded, strong, and at ease in these times of transition is to prepare ourselves spiritually, physically, and emotionally. I believe yoga, meditation, and music are helping to awaken, unify, and harmonize people all around the world. So I really hope you enjoy these classes. If you want to stay connected, sign up for our love letter at pureflow.yoga to stay totally current on all of our upcoming blog and podcast releases, as well as our online and in-person events around the world. And if you love what we're doing, please consider supporting us with a small donation at pureflow.yoga/podcast. Your journey to being more inspired, embodied, and connected begins now. Welcome. My guest on the podcast today is Sophie Sofri, Kundalini yogi, artivist, ecstatic dance DJ, retreat producer. Sophie Sofri is the co-founder and creative director of Wakamaya, where she curates a celebration of music, art, retreats, and indigenous artisans, and event producer for the growing startup Abroad, for which she creates transformative experience for executive leaders in Bhutan, Bali, New Zealand, and Peru. This year, Sophie has been featured in Forbes magazine, where she highlights her journey of bridging the gap between her experience in the tech space in San Francisco, in Silicon Valley, to integrating spirituality and ancient wisdom cultures to help inspire and support others to connect with themselves to find their true purpose with the work they're doing in the world. BBC has also recently filmed Sophie as part of a feature on alternative wellness modalities, focusing on ecstatic dance and the benefits of the creative process. Originally from Singapore and now residing and thriving in Ubud, Bali, you can find Sophie Sofri DJing for ecstatic dances, teaching Kundalini yoga, mandala meditation classes, or designing retreats and simply empowering others to tap into their creativity and reverence for life itself. Welcome, Sophie Sofri. I am so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Fancy Francie. It's an honor to be on your podcast.
So tell me a little bit about what you're passionate about these days and what you're sharing in the world.
What I'm passionate about these days is helping people tap into their creativity and what it is they really want to bring out into the world. And that can come through the form of ecstatic dance or sharing their voice or these retreats that I'm producing where they can really dive into themselves and what their purpose is, why they're here.
Wonderful. And you're coming from Singapore, and before that you were in Silicon Valley. Can you tell us a little bit of your journey of how you ended up here in Bali and doing this kind of work?
Yeah, well, I was born and raised in Singapore to a New York father, and my mom's Chinese. And growing up there in a city, I was really, you know, enthralled by cities, inspired by cities, love the energy of them. And first I went to school in New Orleans, and long story short, ended up in San Francisco. And that's where I really kind of got into, I found a best friend who was a Gemini and a seven, just like you, Fancy. And she kind of really opened up my world into wildflowers and herbalism, and she had the best hippie parents that met on a naked commune, and they just brought so much into my life. And at the same time, I was also studying, you know, business and communications, and, you know, I had always actually wanted to be an artist, but my parents encouraged me to go to business school and just get that solid foundation.
Get a real job.
Get a real job. So I was on that track for the real job. And also coming from Singapore, I'd had, you know, an interest in technology. It's just kind of like growing up in the city, it's maybe conditioned into you to always have the latest thing. So that's always been something that I've geeked out on. And so I got into technology PR, and that was mainly focused on like electronic arts, like mobile gaming, Sony PlayStation. And I did that for a couple of years while simultaneously my best friend opening up this other world to me. And my partner at the time also, he was working at Tesla and wanted to move to Singapore to open that branch. So we decided to come home. And I came home, thought, okay, I'm gonna stay in technology. I applied for Google, and Google had this really rigorous 5-month interview process. And I had done really well. I'd gotten through all 4 months of the process, and they said, okay, I still need a bit more time. And I was like, all right, I need to get a job because this process is a long time. And in the meantime, I found this job at this wellness center, which had like yoga and salt caves and flotation tanks, and they needed someone in marketing. And so I took that job as just like an in-between job. Mm-hmm. While I waited for Google, and I was so happy there. I was doing yoga every day. It was part of their like
staff appreciation.
You got to experience all their healing modalities. So it awoke something in me of my appreciation for self-care and caring for others. And just also my real desire to be on a spiritual path. Mm-hmm. That's also where I met my Kundalini yoga teacher. And so when it came time for Google to hire me, I was already in the frame of mind that I'm done with technology and this is actually the path that I'm on. So
you went down the yoga rabbit hole.
Yes, I did. Yeah. And from there, I met my Kundalini yoga teacher. I had actually done Kundalini yoga one time before in San Francisco with my best friend. And we left the class 15 minutes through. We were like, what is this thing that sounds like an Italian pasta? It was a terrible class. And we thought, I'd never do that again. And I'd heard about this Kundalini yoga class that was going to take place at our studio. And I actually didn't go. I went to the class next door. But the music that poured out of that classroom, I had heard that precise song when I was in Rishikesh once. That just opened my heart. Mm. And I took that as a symbol of synchronicity. And
do you remember which song?
Yeah, it was Om Namo by Sanatam Kaur. And I had no idea like from which lineage it was or what it meant, but I knew that it just touched my heart so deeply. And I decided, okay, I'm going to trust that feeling in my body. And I'm going to go to that class the next time. So I went to that class, and just floods of tears and emotions and remembrance took place. And I also met Rebecca, who, funnily enough, is the mother of a kid I went to high school with who I had a mad crush on, but he was way too cool.
Small world.
Yeah, small world. And that's how we ended up in Bali, because we developed like a working relationship. I was assisting her, and she had a vision of opening up a retreat center in Bali, and I helped her with that.
Amazing. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I remember also when I was new to yoga and I was trying out all the different styles, and I went to a Kundalini class. And later on, a few years ago, I watched a documentary. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called Enlightened Up, in which he goes to some Kundalini classes and he calls it Kundaloony. And they're wearing these white turbans on their head.
Yeah.
And I just had... to be perfectly honest, I felt really awkward. I didn't know what we were doing. There wasn't an alignment-based asana mm-hmm. practice. It was so far out of the realm of my yogic comfort zone, as it were. And I also resonate with the music. So can you shed a little bit more light on what the practice of Kundalini yoga really is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for me, when Kundalini yoga came into my life, I was like, Kundalini yoga is a complement to everything else that I'm mm-hmm. doing, to my vinyasa, to my dance, to whatever else I'm doing. But Kundalini yoga is really focusing on the energy body. Mm-hmm. And for me specifically, why I resonated so deeply was the power of the mantra and the mantra that was born out of that lineage, because that's where I found the deepest meditation. But otherwise, it's working on the energy body. It's specifically, you know, focused on unblocking energy in the chakra system, and also clearing, strengthening your aura and the energetic fields around you. So it's much more energy based, and it's talked about a lot more than it is in other practices. And it's very different. You're not doing asana poses, you're doing kriyas. So you're doing, sometimes you'll be seated and doing a full set of eight, you know, exercises, but they're all seated and focused on different areas of the body to move energy. And it's also based on the premise that we're all born with this kundalini energy, which is our like evolutionary life force energy. And when we really tap into that fully, we can live a more creative, grateful, gracious, expansive life.
And you are definitely living a creative and expansive life. You are now one of the main DJs at the legendary Yoga Barn's Ecstatic Dance, which has basically spawned a huge culture worldwide of ecstatic dance. And tell us a little bit about this growing movement, what it means for you, how you got into it.
Yeah, I just feel like this movement is bringing dance back in such a big way. Like it's rising from the ashes. And this movement, when I first joined, it was, you know, I knew about it in Bali and one other place, and now it's almost found in every major city, and people are recognizing how it's a healing modality for individuals and communities, even to the point where we're doing ecstatic dances for weddings, and it's being integrated into all types of wellness modalities. Breath work is integrating ecstatic dance. Yoga is integrating ecstatic dance. Like everyone's kind of merging it with them because they see the power of connection it brings to the body, connection, how music unites everyone, and how powerful it is for bringing communities together and also bringing us back to circle. That's kind of the biggest thing, is it's such a, like dancing together is a tribal experience the way it is in ecstatic dance. It's, and it's about bringing that village culture back. You know, some, we've all kind of, well, I don't know about you, but I grew up in kind of a nuclear environment, you know, like we lived in condominiums, we didn't know our neighbors. And that's what I thought my life was going to be. And coming to Bali, I think being in Bali where village culture is very normal, and how it's something we wish to bring back into our culture so that there's more unity and harmony and connection. So that's what ecstatic, I think it's moving so quickly, this movement, because people are really wanting that, to come back to circle, to come back to connection.
And for me, it's just another form of yoga, really. You know, we have this linear concept of what yoga is. It's this asana practice that starts with sun salutations, and you grow the heat in the body, and, you know, end up in child's pose or shavasana. But really, ecstatic dance is the same thing. It's a practice to bring us into unity. It's a practice to bring us into connection. It's a practice to help us move out of the mind, help us move out of judgment and criticism and worrying what other people think or judging other people.
Yeah, I respect all types of modalities that do that. Even jogging, you know, it calls, you know, if you're having a bad day and you go for a jog, it's like calls everything, it helps you release, and it calls everything back in, and where you come back into your center and you feel great after. I think it's a practice, just like yoga is a practice and dance is a practice. And with ecstatic dance, which I think, like, the other layer of it that's really powerful is music, like the frequency and the unity that music brings. You know, we can all be doing our individual practices, but have different belief systems and religions. But I feel like once music comes in, it's like equal.
And And I feel super blessed and privileged to have been living in Bali with this emergent culture and really seeing the waves it's making, to the point where at the Yoga Barn, for example, every week there's a lineup outside for hours, you know, so people can be amongst the first 200. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, the BBC has recognized this as an incredible modality and is featuring you.
I know.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? That's congratulations, by the way. That's just an incredible achievement.
I think it's just gotten to the phase where they're recognizing it, they're hearing about it, and you know, I actually really respect the BBC for the kind of content that it puts out and their integrity around things. And
how did they choose to feature you?
Yeah, I think it was a multitude of things. I mean, there's many Ecstatic Dance DJs about me, but there are many Ecstatic Dance DJs. But I think they were particularly fascinated that I was a female and that I was Southeast Asian. Mm. And that also I had come from, you know, city life. And so they were intrigued by how someone took the leap into, from technology into wellness and dance. And also I think they felt that because I've had this kind of upbringing, that I would be more accessible, because they wanted to choose things where people could really feel like you can show up, you know,
whoever you are, age
or size or religion, that you can show up, because they're really appealing to the masses. So I'm really honored and excited that they selected to feature me. And I hope that it inspires other people to also like live from the heart and from their passions. That's something that Bali has awoken in me, and you don't have to be in Bali to do that. But I'm glad that they saw it as inspiration for others.
Totally. And you're so inspiring for me and so many others. You do have this really world bridging quality to you because of where you grew up and the education that you've had and the work background that you've had. And now you're working in this growing startup abroad, and you're helping mm-hmm. take executive leaders out on these transformational experiences. What's that about?
Well, let me backtrack a little bit. I had met my teacher, my Kundalini yoga teacher, mm-hmm. Rebecca Flaum, and she had this vision of opening up a retreat center. So I helped her start that up, and was doing that for almost 7 years. Doing kind of internal retreats and helping people create beautiful journeys. And I met my current business partner, Justin, and he's been very much in the coaching and executive kind of empowerment world for many years, but he's also like a shaman in disguise. He's been doing a lot of spiritual awakening of his own, a lot of, deep diving into himself and he's become the bridge, and then he was looking for that final person to be the event producer. And so he recognized my world bridging as well. And so right now we're creating retreats that's specifically going to points on the planet, such as Bhutan, Bali, Peru, and New Zealand, that carry amplification, like fields of amplification, where you know, there's often nature, really deep ancient wisdom cultures, mm-hmm. and places where rest comes naturally. And we bring together the top professors from universities to talk about emotional psychology, mindfulness, and leadership, and what it means to be a leader, how to respond as a leader, how to create a culture, a positive culture within your company as a leader, and most importantly, how to really live through from your purpose and create positive impact on the planet.
Amazing. And you were in Bhutan just last year for the first time, right?
Yeah, we brought 28 people to Bhutan on our very first one, and it was incredible just by being in the field of Bhutan. yeah, you feel happy and content. And that was one of the reasons why Bhutan is like the flag, it's our main one that we'll always keep because it's the kingdom of happiness and the
it's won awards for being the happiest place in the world kind of thing.
Yeah. And yeah, it's the only country on the planet where they're measured by gross national happiness instead of gross national product. So it's integrated into their school system, like meditation and contentment, and there's temples in every town, and everyone still wears their traditional dress, and there's just an energy about them that is harmonious. So being there in itself is already transformative, and then plus bringing these amazing thought leaders together, and also everything's curated, like every single leader that's brought, there's been a lot of thought behind each one, and the invitations behind each one. So the group that actually comes together is really about forming really impactful networking and collaboration. And then we also, you know, take them on big pilgrimages to monasteries where they really dive into the culture and have profound, you know, insights into their kind of soul path or their connection to their spirituality. We're not trying to push any kind of, whether it's Buddhism or Kundalini yoga or anything. It's just generally teaching breath and how to notice emotions and the power of sitting in a temple and the power of being surrounded by monks that are devoted to their meditation practice. Wow. It's just by being in the field of it, really.
And after taking these people out on this retreat to Bhutan, this magical sounding transformative place, was there an immediate impact on the participants?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely immediate. Yeah. People were just in awe that a country like that can still exist because it really is like a place out of time.
Wow.
But also on another level, like the impact, everyone's missions, because the idea is that like missions are born through our retreats. So missions are born in Bhutan, they're born in Peru, they're born in Bali. And for them to get really, really crystalline clear on what that is and then share. So on this trip, you know, on the last day, one of the most beautiful things that we did, sitting out in an archery field, which is one of their Bhutan's favorite sports. Everyone came up and shared what their missions were. And one of them, for example, the biggest one of all, was to, is from this guy, Emmett, who, you know, was a Formula One car creator. He's one of the biggest private equity. I'm going to pause that. No! I'm trying to think of the actual name.
One shareholder?
No. Oh my God. venture capitalist.
There we go.
Yeah. So he was previously one of the Formula One car creators and venture capitalists, and he also has been growing a network, but he came on this trip and he said, you know, that those have been his chapters, but now his mission is to bring contentment and meditation to 1 million children.
Wow, beautiful.
Which is it's a huge task, but it's possible. And that's with the support of the Contentment Foundation, which is part of the work that we do as well, is one of our business partners, Dan, who's the emotional psychologist on it. He's the founder of the Contentment Foundation, which is focused on bringing meditation into all schools all over the world. And it's teaching children how to understand their emotions, how to speak about their emotions, how to, just respond from a very calm and authentic place. And So, and another thing that the Contentment Foundation is also doing is giving countries like Bhutan the tools of how to capture their ancient wisdom and their teachings, which is, this is kind of an aside, but literally they bring a team over and teach the Bhutanese how to go into all their temples and capture the scriptures and all the teachings. And then that'll, you know, it's all integrated into the programs. And, so it's already happening, where the Contentment Foundation's got scientific research to show how it's improved children in schools, how it's improved teachers, and now Emmett, you know, from our group in Bhutan, has now become one of the advisors for the Contentment Foundation, and they're going to do that work together to fulfill his mission.
Wow.
And, you know, we all, so in Bhutan, everyone shared their missions and everyone kind of raised their hands with suggestions of how, as a network, we could support one another in those missions. And I thought that was really beautiful, because sometimes we can have our isolated purposes, but to actually achieve the support, it's what I've realized is we really need a network.
Mm. Absolutely. And I really love the way this experience that you're working with, it's not only there to inspire, but it's truly as a co-creation and to really bring change and impact, positive impact into the world. Mm-hmm. I so respect that. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
I've always wanted to go to Bhutan, but I think I heard it's like $250 a day to be a tourist there. Is that true?
Yeah, but you know, it includes everything. $250 includes your accommodation, your food, your guide. I think it's worth saving up for that.
Okay.
Yeah, save up for a week. And
I've thought about having a bucket list. Maybe I'll put that on it.
Yeah, but it's one of the only countries that has a like government mandate that over 70% of the forest has to remain forested.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And what is it that makes them the happiest nation? How do they measure gross national happiness, I wonder?
Through surveys. Yeah, surveying each individual and their levels of contentment.
Beautiful. Wonderful. And so now you're working on a new project, Wakamaya.
Wakamaya.
What does Wakamaya mean? What is the project?
Well, Wakamaya first came out because we were all singing that song, Wakamaya,
Wakamaya,
hey, 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 poderoso Wakamaya.
Who's that by?
Danit.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah. So we were singing that a lot, and we were in Colombia, and we did a retreat within a refuge in Colombia, and really inspired by the deep wisdom of the Kogis in the Sierra Nevada, and also realizing, you know, getting clear on what our mission was, which is to...
Who's our?
My partner and I. Wakamaya is a baby born from Sophie, Sofri, and Rayo, otherwise known as Rob Weber. But yeah, we were both in...
Also on the podcast.
Also on the podcast, because he's amazing. And we were both in Colombia, and yeah, we did a deep dive into the Kogi and the Sierra Nevada, and really, we also watched the documentary, The Elder Brother's Warning, which is on the BBC, which everybody should watch, but it's...
We'll include it in the links below.
Yeah, kind of bringing insight into their incredible wisdom that they carry, and in connection with nature. The Kogi are from the ages of 0 to 9 years old are brought up in darkness in a cave because they are trained to become so acutely sensitive to nature and the interconnectedness of everything, that from a young age they're taught really deep concentration, and they're only allowed out at night, you know, under the stars, and that's where they get to see some things. But it's when they're 9 years old that they actually come out of these caves, and it's said that from the moment they come out they already have a full understanding of the interweavings and the harmony and the living being that the earth is. And so they think that the Sierra Nevada is the heart of the world, and that the whole world is like this big, almost like a human body. And they also believe that the human body is really, really sick. And they've got incredible wisdom. Like, they've known, you know, when certain people have come in and destroyed areas, they've said, you know, once you do this, there's going to be storms and there's going to be mudslides. And of course, immediately that happens. And the government, you know, sometimes has come in to say, we really need your help to restore this area. We've made a mistake. And they're able to come in and say, you need this plant and this plant and this plant. And they bring it back to harmony. So they're really incredible beings. And we were really touched by them. And in Colombia, yeah, for me, I'm also an artist and was really inspired by the handicrafts and especially the jewelry, their Cosmovision, because they sit in ceremony and they create these incredible pieces of art and adornments through their Cosmovision. And I felt, we thought, why don't we support these artisans, and we call them the artisans of light. That's why it's Wakamaya artisans of light.
Beautiful.
Because they're all bringing, radiating beauty and light and symbols of nature into the world. And then Wakamaya just evolved into, like, maybe this is our platform for music and events and everything that we do. We've been a couple for 5 years, and over the years, like, cultivating, you know, what our offerings are individually and together. And this is finally our first time where it's a platform for us to share music, art, and events.
Beautiful.
And
congratulations.
Also, yeah, the Colombian jewelry, which a percentage of that goes towards foundations that are doing work to support the indigenous.
Love the give back culture. Wonderful. Thank you for that. I also was looking on your website earlier, and I noticed that you have an ecstatic dance facilitator training.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, it's a growing movement, and more people, you know, Bali's been this amazing place where people come from all over the world, and they have this experience that blows them wide open, and they think, wow, I'd love to bring this to my community. And it seems almost impossible because you're like, okay, I have to learn how to DJ. I have to learn how to public speak. I have to learn how to teach movement. I have to teach how to hold circle. And we just thought, why don't we create something where they can learn all those tools at once? And so this training, I'm really excited about. Every morning there's going to be embodiment practices. We're going to talk about world music from all different cultures, because that's what Rob and I are passionate about, from Africa, Brazil, and into the more modern stuff. We're going to look at, you know, what's the difference between the energy of this song and the energy of that song, and how do you, even for yoga teachers, like, how do you create a beautiful flow for your classes? So it's not only actually for ecstatic dance facilitators, it's also for yoga teachers or anyone else who just wants to integrate music into their journeys.
Sounds epic, and what a cool way to just continue nourishing and seeding this spark that's really growing in these, you know, so-called conscious communities, just to domino it out so that the goodness really gets to all the people.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So tell me, Sophie Sofri, who are your main inspirations, or are there books that have really inspired you, people, things, practices? What are you feeling really inspired by, or who has inspired you?
I feel like everyone in my family inspires me, like my soul and my blood family. Mm-hmm. I, you know, initially I was like, Oprah's my homegirl, because she's done such good stuff for the world, I think, you know.
My friend Nadia is always going on about these Super Soul Sundays.
I love Super Soul Sundays. I need to get into it. But really, you know, I went to a concert the other night and saw my friend. You know, I've been watching him over the years just on the dance floor, and then he came out and he's like doing a concert with his piano, and a friend of ours who's also kind of, he's always been an amazing singer, but now he's coming out onto the stage, and they were both just, they created music together. And from there, I came home with so much energy and inspiration to come out with my creations as well. So, and that happens all the time within our community, like where we live. And so I feel like it's by the people around me, especially right now. It seems to be a really incredible constellation. So that would be my answer, that every time one person comes out with their offerings, it inspires me to do the same.
Beautiful. Any books that have really guided your journey or helped to make you the incredible woman that you are today? I'm sure many books. Any one you can think of that you might like to share?
Any one book.
Or a thousand, whatever.
I actually want to say music more than...
Yeah.
More than books.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say mostly in music from Kundalini yoga tradition. The mantra is what really got me, kind of kickstarted me on the path, just because of what it kind of intrinsically opens in you once you start listening to it and once you start reciting the mantras. Because for me, Kundalini yoga has always led me to, or that music has always led me to the right places, like within myself. And also it even led me to my partner who I have now. Our real connection was through Kundalini yoga mantra.
And I was checking you guys out on SoundCloud. You have some, really, really beautiful songs there, and they are very well received. You're like a SoundCloud celebrity. You gonna be making some more music for us in the near future?
Yeah, we have a couple of singles out on SoundCloud, and Cognac being probably the most well-known.
And Bandcamp too, right? You can buy it.
And Bandcamp, soon to be on Spotify and iTunes. But we've worked on this beautiful mantra, Adi Shakti, and our dream is to keep working towards our Kundalini mantra album. That's really in flow. You know, we're not pushing it. My partner is really working on his other music right now, but it's when inspired that we've always found that it's just when it's in flow and not forced and just coming from a place of full relaxation that it always is the most beautiful.
And you just dropped one of my favorite words of all time, which is flow. Oh, you know me. So yeah, Pure Flow is the name of my world. And I'm wondering, what does Pure Flow mean to you? What do those words mean?
Pure Flow to me means being really, really in touch with the feminine. For as a woman, I can just speak for the feminine, but really in tune with your inner waters, with your moon cycles, with the presence of the now.
And do you have any practices that you use in those moments where life is not particularly flowing, when you're not particularly in touch with the now, and maybe you're suffering or struggling or efforting?
Mm-hmm. I flow. I dance.
You dance.
Yeah, that's really my medicine. The first thing is like, okay, put on music, change the vibration, put on positive frequency, sing to it, dance to it, flow to it. To me, that's been the quickest medicine that can really, you know, change your mind.
Absolutely.
And it's everything incredible around you is feeling fine.
I mean, I can sometimes go on these big, you know, spiraling waves of emotion, and I'm always shocked if I just put on one song that has a higher vibration than where I'm at, and if I can just really let myself flow with it for 5 minutes, it completely changes my state. And there's moments where I'm resistant to change my state because I actually just simply need to be with it. But it is such a powerful practice.
Yeah. And it's good for everyone to recognize, like, what is the music that really empowers and lifts you up? And what is the music that, like, okay, I'm just going to wallow in this for a while. And I remember as a teenager, I did that a lot. Like, I was feeling sad, so then I'd put on sad music and just go really deep into it. But now I have of course, when things are sad, I allow myself to feel and sit with it. And then I know that it's also time to put on music, which I know particularly for my not configuration, but that really uplifts me.
Yeah.
So, and over time, you know, I recommend like making playlists or kind of pointing out artists that always, like, my go-to is Kundalini Mantra. No matter what, it shifts the mood.
Mm.
Medicine music always shifts the mood. Yeah, and it gives perspective too.
And for me, if I don't know what to listen to, I'll just put on a Sophie Sofrey playlist.
Oh, yeah, you can do that too.
I'm so grateful for the music that you've put out in the world and the vibrations that you share at dance. And yeah, just bringing that feminine essence and flavor.
Yeah, thank you. So much fun.
I just want to ask you just a couple more questions.
Okay.
Do you have a daily practice of yoga or meditation or something else? Or what are your practices for self-care? However you want to answer that.
Well, currently at this moment, I've broken my foot about 8.5 weeks ago. So my self-care practice has shifted quite a bit in that time. And now that practice is listening to my bones, actually, when I wake up, and, you know, noticing the difference of like what's the feeling is in my muscles, or in my mind, and more directing that awareness to what's the feeling in my spine, what's the feeling in my bones. So that's first thing when I wake up. That's tuning in. How's my broken foot? How's the rest of my body and my bones feeling? And also, what do I want to bring into this day? And listening to the sensation that the bones bring. And this has only been brought to light to me recently. You know, I've always known about what goosebumps are and what listening to your gut is about, but listening to my bones or feeling it in my bones is quite new, but it's so tangible and real, and you can really feel it. So I've started asking myself questions of, you know, things I want to bring into my day, and does that feel good and does that not? And then the first thing I do after that is I put on music, earlier to kind of lift up the vibrations and being kind of intentional about what music I put on. brushing my hair for a really long time.
You do have very long hair.
I do have really long hair. and also just tuning into where I am in my cycles and accepting also where I'm at and what superpowers that time of the month will bring.
I've just started learning a lot more about menstruation consciousness. I just did a course with Bex Tyrer called Unwind the Feminine. She's the best. And we just had such a fascinating mind-opening time learning about this wisdom that's living in our bodies and how to tap into the power of it rather than see it as a challenge or a deficit. And, you know, I'm in my late 30s now and I'm just feeling like, oh, really,
right,
you know, I'm trying to let go of that feeling of being upset that I didn't already know.
Why didn't we get told this earlier?
I'm just very grateful that it's now coming into more popular awareness. And you actually were featured in Forbes this year and you spoke on this.
Well, they asked me what one of my tools I use is, and I said, you know, awareness of the moon cycle is a total game changer, because there are superpowers in our blood that we're not aware of until we're told. And each one carries a certain energy. And if we can really fully tap into that, there's lots of insight and gifts and intuition and psychic abilities and creativity and spirituality. Like, for example, meditation during your moon cycle is one of the most powerful times for you to I drop in the most deep during that period. I'm the most open. Or the week after, or once your period has just finished, you know, in that period, you're the most creative and the most outgoing. So there's certain things which you can also weave, you know, time podcasts for. Like, I'm going to be particularly communicative at this time, so I prefer to put it in this week where I'm more articulate and my mind's sharper, so you can time it with your cycles.
Totally. And I have.
Yeah.
Sophie Sofree, it is such a pleasure to connect with you and spend this quality time with you, hearing about all the incredible work that you are doing in the world. Thank you so much for taking time. I know you're off to run a marriage ceremony in Lombok. It's one of the incredible many things that you do in this world, you know, private ceremonies and this and that. So congratulations on that as well. I'm glad that people are recognizing you for the scope of ability to hold space that you guys, you and Rob, possess. Where can our listeners find you?
Our listeners can find me on wakamaya.love, wakamaia.love. That's where you can find out about our music, our mixes, our events, our trainings, and if you're interested in supporting the Indigenous Artisans of Light there. And that'll link you to SoundCloud and Bandcamp and everything else. So wakamaya.love. And you can also subscribe and stay in touch, and we'll communicate with you through the subscription.
Sounds amazing. Thank you, Sophie Sofree.
Okay, thank you, Fancy Francie. Love you.
Thank you so much for listening and tuning into our podcast today. I really hope that you got a lot from it and feel really inspired and uplifted. Please help us help you by spreading the love. Tell a friend, leave us a 5-star review, and make sure to sign up to our love letter at pureflow.yoga to stay connected with the community and receive our free weekly love and inspirations, as well as be the first to know about our upcoming blog and podcast episode. We're also going to share with you special deals on our Thailand yoga retreats that we just don't share anywhere else. And if you want to help support these efforts, which it takes a lot of time and love and energy to spread the love in this way, and we want to keep doing this for you, so please consider sharing a monthly donation, a contribution, and you can find that at pureflow.yoga/podcast. So hope you have a really beautiful day, a really beautiful week. Feel free to reach out anytime, and sending you so much love. Yeah.